Hey, podcast listeners. Thanks for streaming today's podcast from Pathway to Victory. Pathway to Victory is a nonprofit ministry featuring the Bible teaching of Dr. Robert Jeffress. Our mission is to pierce the darkness with the light of God's Word through the most effective media available, like this podcast. To support Pathway to Victory, go to ptv.org/podcast and click the donate button or follow the link in our show notes. Now, here's today's podcast from Pathway to Victory.
Hi, this is Robert Jeffress, and I'm glad to study God's Word with you every day on this Bible teaching program. On today's edition, A Pathway to Victory.
Consider the unique claims of Jesus, His unique teaching, and that leads, finally, to His unique solution. What makes Jesus different than any other religious leader? He offers a unique solution to man's deepest dilemma.
Welcome to Pathway to Victory with author and pastor Dr. Robert Jeffress. Throughout the ages, people have called Jesus a great moral teacher or a charitable do-gooder. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus himself claimed to be so much more. Today on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress examines four claims from Jesus himself that could only be made by the Son of God. Now, here's our Bible teacher to introduce today's message. Dr. Jeffress?
Thanks, David, and welcome again to Pathway to Victory. What you believe about Easter Sunday will determine your eternal destiny. The question is simple. Do you believe that Jesus Christ conquered death and rose from the grave? Or do you believe the biblical account of Easter is nothing more than a myth? In today's message, we're going to explore those questions and more as we continue the teaching series that crescendos on Easter weekend. I'm calling this study The Power of the Cross. Before we begin today's message, I'll remind you that time is running short to request the exclusive book we've prepared for you and your family. It's a picture book of sorts called The Power of the Cross, and I want this illustrated guidebook to help you reflect on 7 days of Jesus' ministry, from his entrance into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday to his glorious resurrection Easter morning. When you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory, I'll make sure you receive a copy of my new book called The Power of the Cross. Be ready to jot down our contact information at the end of today's program. Plus, when you respond today, I'll also include a helpful booklet I've written for you called 3 Days That Changed the World. This brochure illustrates the hour-by-hour account of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, let's get started with today's important lesson. I've titled today's message, Jesus, Man, Myth, or Messiah.
Today, I'd like us to consider 3 reasons Jesus is unique. Why Jesus is different than any other religious leader who has ever lived. First of all, I want you to consider his claims. Jesus made unique claims that no other religious leader made. There are 4 of them. First of all, Jesus claimed to be God. Now, all religious leaders and all philosophers claim to point people to God. But do you realize no other religious leader ever claimed to be God himself? They all said, we're nothing but sinful men. All we can do is point people to God, not Jesus. Jesus claimed to be God. Secondly, Jesus claimed to forgive sins. Again, no other religious leader ever claimed the ability to forgive people of their sins. But Jesus said, I can. In Mark chapter 2, remember the group of disciples who brought the paralytic to Jesus to be healed? Verse 5, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, my son, your sins are forgiven. In verse 7, why does this man speak this way? The religious leaders say, he is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Well, to show people that he had the power to forgive sins, he performs this miracle. Look at verse 10. But in order that you may know that I, the Son of Man, has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, take up your pallet and go home. And he rose and immediately took up the pallet and went out in the sight of all, so that they were all amazed and were glorifying God. Jesus claimed to forgive sins. A third thing that made Jesus' claims unique was his claim to conquer death. Repeatedly, Jesus said to his followers that he would be killed by his enemies, but on the third day, he would be raised from the dead. Furthermore, Jesus said that the signal proof to the entire world that he was who he said he was would be that empty tomb, the fact that he was raised from the dead. There is no other religious leader in history who was killed, who was buried, and left an empty tomb. Only Jesus claimed he could conquer death, and in fact, did conquer death. The fourth claim of Jesus that made him unique was this. Jesus claimed he would return to judge the world. Jesus said one day he's coming back to reward the righteous and to punish the unrighteous. Jesus claimed to be God. He claimed to be able to forgive sins. He claimed to conquer death. He claimed he was coming back to judge the world. And that leads to the second uniqueness of Jesus above all other religious leaders, and that is his unique teachings. What did Jesus teach that is unique above all other religious leaders? Write these things down. First of all, Jesus taught there are two possible eternal destinations when we die. Some will go to heaven, some will go to hell. In Matthew 25, verse 46, Jesus said, these, that is the unrighteous, will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Secondly, and more disturbingly, Jesus taught that the majority of mankind will spend eternity in hell. Listen to his words in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Have you ever heard people say, oh, your faith is too narrow. Christianity is too narrow. Just to say the only ones going to heaven are those who believe in Jesus? Well, that means most of the world who doesn't believe in Jesus is going to hell. That is too narrow. That's right, it's narrow. And Jesus says right here in verse 13, the way to heaven is narrow. It's narrow. Few are those who enter to it. And included on that road to hell, listen to me, are not just murderers, child molesters, and terrorists. Did you know there are religious people who are on the road to hell? In fact, Jesus goes on to say, many of those on the road to hell are people who think they're Christians. They're people who call me by name. Look at verses 21 to 23 of Matthew 7. Jesus continues, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. For many will say to me on that day, that is the judgment day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Wouldn't that be the worst surprise of your entire life? To awaken after you die in the presence of God and to realize you are on the wrong road the entire time? Jesus said many people are going to have that surprise. Not just the hardened atheist, but many professors of Christianity who will be surprised on the judgment day. And that leads to the unique teaching of Jesus that ensures you won't have that surprise. And that is, Jesus offers an exclusive way to heaven. Jesus offers an exclusive way to heaven. You know, every now and then I'll be on a talk show and people will say, well, Pastor, you're just being intolerant when you say that people have to trust in Jesus to be saved. That is just intolerant. That is narrow. And whenever people accuse me of that, I always have the same response. I say, well, you know, that's not me saying that. That's what the founder of our faith, Jesus, said. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. That's Jesus' claim. There are not many ways to heaven. There is one way to heaven, and it is through him. And by the way, the reason Jesus taught that was he didn't want to keep people out of heaven. He wanted to have as many people come to heaven as possible. But he said there's only one way, and that way is through faith in me. John 5:24, truly, truly, Jesus said, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. Hear me this morning, even sincere followers of other religions are not exempt from this truth. There is only one way for a person to go to heaven, and it is through faith in Jesus Christ. I don't think it's accidental that Jesus gave his greatest teaching about what it means to be a Christian, how a person can have saving faith. He gave that discourse not to a hardened atheist, but to a sincere follower of another religion. Remember in John chapter 3, Nicodemus came to Jesus. Nicodemus was a Jew who came, by the way, to Jesus, who was a Jew. And he wanted to know how he could have eternal life. Now look, if anybody should have qualified for eternal life, it should have been Nicodemus. He was a Jew, one of God's chosen people. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, the ruling class of the Jews, part of the elders of the Jewish people. He kept the law as best he could from the time he was born. If anybody should have been able to earn eternal life by living a good life, it should have been Nicodemus. But Jesus said no in John 3:3. Truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, that raised all kinds of questions for Nicodemus. Born again, what does that mean? You mean climbing back into your mother's womb and going through that ordeal again? And then Jesus gave this illustration, the clearest illustration I know of anywhere in the Bible to explain how you can know for sure you're going to heaven one day. John 3, verses 14 to 16. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes may in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. What is that about? Moses, some serpent, some pole? What in the world is all that weird stuff about? Well, Nicodemus knew the story well. It came from the Old Testament in Numbers chapter 21. Remember when the children of Israel were wandering around in the wilderness, they were disobedient to God. So his judgment, God sent serpents who began to bite the Israelites. And they began to die, men, women, and children. They died by the scores, by the hundreds, and they pled with Moses, Moses, do something to save us. And so Moses went to God and said, the people are dying. Can you please heal them? And this is what God said in Numbers 21. He said, Moses, I want you to make a serpent of bronze, an image, a bronze serpent, and put it on the end of a pole. And then I want you to hold that pole in the air and tell people, if they will simply in faith look at that bronze serpent, the moment they look and believe, they will be healed. There's not any power in that serpent, but it will be a sign to me, God, that you're looking to me for healing. And so that was the message, look and live. Not everybody was healed in Israel, but those who had enough faith, who believed that they had a need they could not meet on their own and that God alone could meet that need, if they would simply look once at that bronze serpent, they would be healed. They didn't have to look and keep on looking. It was a one-time look in desperation that caused them to be healed. Look and live. And of all of the illustrations God could have used of what it means to have saving faith, that's the one Jesus used. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must I, the Son of Man, be lifted up, that whoever believes, clings to, trusts in me alone, will have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes, trusts in, clings to me, shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it means to have saving faith. Consider the unique claims of Jesus, his unique teaching, and that leads finally to his unique solution. What makes Jesus different than any other religious leader? He offers a unique solution to man's deepest dilemma. You're going to be surprised that I say this, but listen carefully. Not all religions are wrong about everything. It means all religions, there's a kernel of truth somewhere in those religions. Now, it's not about the important things, but they get some things right. I mean, remember, a broken clock is right twice a day. And so some religions get some things right. For example, almost all the major world religions say that man is flawed, that we have an internal problem. Most of the religions of the world say that that problem is selfishness. And because of selfishness, we are missing out on what God or some other deity has planned for us. We're all infected with selfishness. But all the other world religions say the solution to that dilemma begins with man. The solution to man's dilemma begins with man. For example, Eastern religions like Buddhism and Hinduism say that meditation is the answer to selfishness. If you will just meditate, they don't really tell you exactly what to meditate on, but if you'll meditate, you can rid yourself of that cancer of selfishness. Judaism and Islam, as different as they are really alike in this way, both Judaism and Islam say, no, meditation won't do it. You need to keep a list of rules and regulations to satisfy God, to earn your forgiveness. Now, Judaism and Islam differ. They have different gods and they have different lists of regulations, but they both say the way we get right with whoever God is by keeping the law. But Christianity is altogether different. Christianity, first of all, says our dilemma is much more serious than selfishness. At the root of our problem is sin, our rebellion against our Creator. And the Bible says we're all guilty of it. Romans 3:23, for all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And not only that, Romans 6:23 says that the wages, what we deserve for our sin, is death, eternal death, and separation from God. Some people say, well, I can earn God's forgiveness. I know I've messed up here and there, but maybe I can earn forgiveness. Here's the problem with that. And here's the problem with Judaism and Islam. God doesn't allow selective obedience to his laws. God doesn't say, well, as long as you keep 70% of the law or 80% of it, you're okay. In Galatians 3:10, Paul was writing to those who were trying to justify themselves by keeping God's laws, and he reminded them, for as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written in the Old Testament, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Do you remember in high school or college, every now and then you might have one of those pass-fail courses? Did you all like those as much as I did? I loved pass-fail classes because as long as you just kept a minimum requirement, just did a minimum amount of work, you passed. And as soon as you met that minimum requirement, you know, you could goof off the rest of the semester. You didn't have to worry about your GPA or earning a higher grade because it was pass or fail. That was it. Well, you know, when it comes to God's judgment of our lives, did you know God grades on the pass-fail system? He doesn't grade on the curve. He grades on the pass-fail system. That's the good news. Here's the bad news. The minimum requirement to pass and go to heaven is 100% obedience to God's laws. 100%. In fact, James said it this way in James 2:10, for whoever keeps the whole law of God and yet stumbles in one point, he has been guilty of all. One little mistake, you fail. You have to be perfect. You have to keep all things written in the book. You say, Pastor, that's impossible for anyone to do. Bingo. Exactly. That's God's whole point. None of us is good enough to earn God's forgiveness. And that's why God instituted a rescue plan to save us from the punishment we all deserve for our sins. That's why 2,000 years ago, he sent his perfect son, Jesus, to live a perfect life and yet to die on a cross and suffer the hell, the separation from God, from his Father, that you and I deserve to suffer. And here's the great thing that happens. When you trust in Jesus to be your Savior, when you believe that He paid the penalty that you deserve for your sins, two transactions take place. Jesus suffers. He suffers the penalty for our sin. And secondly, we experience the reward for His perfection. When you trust in Jesus as your Savior, believing that He died for your sins, He suffers the penalty for your sin. He suffered separation from God in some inexplicable way so that you and I never have to be separated from God. But not only that, we get to experience the reward, heaven, because of His perfection. The Apostle Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For God made Him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." Christianity doesn't require that we earn God's forgiveness. In fact, Christianity doesn't even allow for it. Paul said in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." A number of years ago, there was a symposium in Great Britain on the world's great religions. And one afternoon, there was a breakout session, and some leading scholars were discussing what it is that makes Christianity different from all the other world religions. They were getting into a heated debate when all of a sudden, C.S. Lewis, the Oxford scholar I mentioned earlier, walked into the room. He heard all of the discussion. He said, "What's the rumpus about?" They said, "Well, we're discussing what is it that makes Christianity unique than all other world religions." He said, "Oh, that's easy. It's grace. Grace. Every other religion in the world is spelled D-O. Do this, do this, do this, and you might have a chance at heaven. Only Christianity is spelled D-O-N-E. It's all been done. It's been done by Jesus Christ, and nothing you can do can add to that. And perhaps that is what makes Jesus and Christianity different than all other religions, because Jesus offered the unique solution to our greatest dilemma. It's the dilemma that Job expressed in Job 9:2 when he asked, "What can a person do to be right with God?" That's all that matters. What can we do to be right with God? Every other religion answers that question, work. But Jesus answers that question, grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith.
Grace sets Christianity apart from every other religion. And grace was unleashed on mankind through the power of the cross. This is the good news that we declare every day on Pathway to Victory. And when you walk alongside of us and support this ministry financially, you're becoming a channel of blessing to someone else who desperately needs the grace of God. Along those lines, I want to share an encouraging note I received from Mark, who found Pathway to Victory in Nigeria. He wrote these words, "I believe it was divinely arranged when I switched on my digital satellite TV early this morning. I saw Dr. Robert Jeffress preaching. Your message blessed me. Now I have a better understanding that Jesus is not dead or left behind in some tomb. He has risen." Isn't that amazing? The power of the cross is not limited by distance, by boundaries, or even by cultures. People like Mark are quickened in their spirit when they encounter the truth of our resurrected Lord. And friends, these are the moments that you make possible when you give generously to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory. And today I want to say thank you for your special Easter gift by sending you a one-of-a-kind coffee table book to your home. It's called The Power of the Cross. In this new book, I guide you on a pictorial journey, tracing the footsteps of Jesus over the most important 7 days of His ministry. The Holy Week starts on Palm Sunday and culminates on Easter morning. Even with all the confusion and chaos in our world, thank you for joining me in this important mission to share the power of the cross with people in need of our Savior. David.
Thanks, Dr. Jeffress. Today, when you contact Pathway to Victory and give a generous gift, we'll send you The Power of the Cross, an all-new, beautifully illustrated coffee table-style book based on the teaching of Dr. Robert Jeffress. Plus, we'll also send you a one-of-a-kind brochure called 3 Days That Changed the World. Call us toll-free at 866-999-2965 or give online at ptv.org. You'll also receive a very special collection of messages that Dr. Jeffress preached on location in Israel. It's called Live from Israel, 8 powerful messages by Dr. Jeffress from the Holy Land. Now, you'll receive both the DVD video and the MP3 format audio disc. Again, call 866-999-2965 or go to ptv.org. If you'd prefer to write to us, here's that mailing address, P.O. Box 223-609, Dallas, Texas, 75222. That's P.O. Box 223-609, Dallas, Texas, 75222. I'm David J. Mullins. Someone has wisely stated that Christianity stands or falls on the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Disprove it, and you've disposed of Christianity forever. So why is an empty tomb the foundation of our Christian faith? Uncover 3 reasons the resurrection matters. Listen Friday to Pathway to Victory. Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress comes from the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas.
Imagine waking up to the sight of Alaska's majestic coastline or spotting wildlife from the deck of a luxurious cruise ship.
Experience these unforgettable moments on the Pathway to Victory cruise to Alaska with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Relax with us in Alaska, and I guarantee you'll come home spiritually and physically refreshed.
To book your spot on the 2024 Pathway to Victory cruise to Alaska, go to ptv.org. You made it to the end of today's podcast from Pathway to Victory, and we're so glad you're here. Pathway to Victory relies on the generosity of loyal listeners like you to make this podcast possible. One of the most impactful ways you can give is by becoming a Pathway partner. Your monthly gift will empower Pathway to Victory to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and help others become rooted more firmly in His Word. To become a Pathway partner, go to ptv.org/podcast and click on the Donate button, or follow the link in our show notes. We hope you've been blessed by today's podcast from Pathway to Victory.